This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And now it's time for the Mullen Haw Draft Special, featuring Mike Mulligan, David Haw, and former Chicago Bear legend Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Mullen Haw and Olin Krutz, how about that? It's a draft special, NFL draft coverage of the Chicago Bears doing what the Bears do, and it is a delight to welcome everyone in. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll talk about what they've done, what's left to do, and what happens today, Mr. David.
Morning, Molly. Happy Saturday. That's very serious music for a Saturday morning. That's not inside the clubhouse. We are inside the draft room, and we sound like we're very seriously going to attack and analyze this NFL draft because the music dictates that kind of approach.
Olin, where you at? How you feeling? You ready for this show? Are you, if you climb down from the ledge?
Well, I'm still in Bannockburn, if you're wondering where I am. And good morning to you and David. And the draft is always a fun event, a great thing to watch. These young men, accomplish their goals, their dreams, and their families. And there's always so many stories and so many things to follow and so much information to dive into, why the Bears took certain guys, why certain guys haven't gone. But I don't know about you guys, man, but I have a blast every year when the NFL draft is on and trying to figure out who they're going to take and just watching these players accomplish what is a pretty big dream. And I remember going through it with my family and getting drafted by the Chicago Bears and getting passed up by a lot of teams and all those emotions you go through. So a really fun time, and I'm excited to talk about what the Bears did and what this draft has been about.
So you can relate to Shedeur Sanders a little bit this morning.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is a tough thing to go through for a young football player, man, and his family, no matter who they are. To think you're going to go as early as he thought he was going to go and to go through hearing things about you and who you are and the makeup of the kind of football player you are. And, of course, when you go into the draft, guys, all you hear about is what you can't do. It's really all you hear about, right? Like when I came out, I was undersized and had character concerns coming out of Washington. And, you know, two centers went before me. And I remember going late in the day, and I remember telling my girlfriend at the time, who is my wife now, Wendy, I was 20 years old, and she was 18 years old. And we were going through this draft process. And I said, I got to go for a drive. You know, I was in my like eighth or ninth hour them days, watching the draft and not getting taken and two centers going before me and not knowing where I was going to go. And Shedeur has gone through a lot more than I've gone through, obviously, with the focus on him and the hyper focus on who he is and who his dad is and can he play, can he not play. So yes, I do kind of gone through, not as obviously as high of a draft prospect as he was supposed to be, but kind of going through it. I do feel for him watching him go through this process of you think you can play football, but a lot of people think you can't.
I was saying to David before we started, that's got to be one of the all-timers, though. I've never seen a guy who was supposed to be you've seen guys fall in drafts, and usually it's based on particular things that you know about. Oh, what are you doing in that gas mask? Very rarely is it this far, and is it because I don't know.
Well, I don't know if we know why it is.
But could it be that no one told the truth to his father? He knows everybody. They didn't want to tell him the bitter reality.
Well, I don't know if it's that, Mully. I'll get your thoughts on this because if he can play, he can play. And I don't think it would be something you're afraid to tell his dad that he can't. And we have seen him succeed at a high level. I don't know if he's a third overall pick high level. but he's some. He's also not a guy that should probably drop to the fourth round.
He thought he was going single digits, and now he's on the board for the fourth round. It's insane.
Olin, could the entire league be afraid of the potential distraction that Shedeur Sanders would bring into their buildings?
It's a great question, because when you watch the NFL, when you watch football, what is there not enough of, right? There's not enough good quarterbacks to go around, right? So if a guy is a good quarterback, I don't care the distraction he brings. I don't care who his family is. I don't care about anything else. Someone's going to draft him. There's just not enough guys who can play quarterback in the NFL, who can process information, who can fit the ball into tight windows. When you watch his film, those are the things you worry about, right? When you watch him try to throw the football, you don't see a lot of throws where he fits them into tight windows, where he throws wide receivers open, where he hits them on the run. You see a lot of, you know, dink and dunks, what you talk about. But you also see a guy who looks like he understands football, who has clean footwork and does well against pressure. So it's an interesting process to watch, because you would think, okay, everyone thought when you said Shedeur Sanders was going to be a top 10 pick, when you turned the film on, you thought, man, I don't see that, right? It's just the fact that everyone reaches for quarterbacks. But you didn't see also, you didn't think he was going to fall to the fourth to fifth round.
Right.
So this is very, very interesting what's going on here. And I think really the answer is, guys, it's all of it combined.
We'll
right?
get to
it's
the Bears. That, yeah.
Go ahead.
That's great. We'll get to the Bears in a moment. But, Molly, you said that you wonder if they're afraid to tell Deion Sanders the truth. What do you think the truth is that they're afraid to tell Deion Sanders?
I mean, a guy told me last week, and I told you this on the air, that why would you draft a guy whose father's going to take your job?
Exactly.
And, I mean,
are there enough secure head coaches in the league to take on that all that comes with it?
I think that's part of it. But I think also, you know, let's just be honest about it. For his father's son, he didn't really get all that athletic ability. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like he was on the lower end of the gene pool when they gave away speed and footwork
but
and such.
Tyler Shuck's not a great athlete. He was taken before him.
No, he's not.
You look at Jackson Dart. He's not his better athlete necessarily than Sanders.
The other thing, Olin, is when you watch this kid, he has this one move where instead of moving forward, he does this like spin move where he gets sacked. He goes behind his shoulder and then spins around and literally gets sacked like every time he tries to change field in that fashion. He could get maybe 4 yards if he just ran forward, but he always does this little scoop move, which I don't know why someone would tell him not to. And maybe they didn't tell him, you know, you need to throw. You need to play in an all-star game. You need to show more than you've shown in college. Stuff like that.
Is he coachable?
He's got no agent. So his dad's pulling all the strings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Geno Smith is his comparison. And really, you hear all the stuff around him. You hear about his dad. You hear all the stuff about dad taking the coach's job. I just always come back to guys. I mean, there's not enough good quarterbacks
right
in the NFL, right? There's not enough guys who can play the position. And all these things you hear, it just must be his film hasn't blown anybody away, right? His dad's not going to take a general manager's job, right? His dad's not going to take an owner's job. So
true.
This guy's film was good enough, he'd be off the board already. I think right now what we're seeing is when they really dove into his film, when they had the process of putting him in the room, putting him on the board, talking to him. Obviously, when a guy falls this far, people don't like what they see and they don't like what they heard.
No doubt about that. And I hope he goes fast, because I'm tired of one guy who isn't drafted taking the story away from everyone who was.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the Bears. On Friday, they had 3 second rounders after some wheeling and dealing. Luther Burden III, wide receiver out of Missouri, 39th in the second round. Ozzie Trapio, the offensive tackle from Boston College, 56th in the second round. And then Shamar Turner, defensive tackle, 62nd overall in the second round. Mully, your first reaction when you saw Luther Burden III, a wide receiver from Missouri, going to the Bears?
I didn't know if the Bears could draft again. I mean, that celebration, they closed down streets, they had a party, they brought a band out. What was going on in that draft room? The draft's not over, fellas. Hey, straighten up, fix your tie, get ready for another pick.
Olin?
Luther Burden, heard a lot about him, right? East St. Louis, my two boys were in high school while he was coming up, and just heard about this receiver going to Missouri out of East St. Louis, got to watch him play. Hell of a football player, guys, man. Really good with the ball in his hands. He was good. Even in high school, he's been good through Missouri. He's a chess piece for Ben Johnson, right? And, you know, they did that celebration like Molly's talking about. I'm just waiting for the poem about Luther Burden. I'm sure that's coming out.
It's going to be a sign. Yes.
But you see, guys, when you watch, right, when you see this Bears, Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, you see the way they envision winning football games is by having more chess pieces than you have on the board, right? That they're going to have matchup problems, matchup nightmares for the offensive coordinator that they brought from the Detroit Lions.
I understand what it does because it makes Ben Johnson more dynamic of a play caller, and I know that you can never have enough weapons in an arsenal if you believe to be you're an offensive-minded head coach. That was round one as well, the philosophy. But, Olin, and I'm not trying to tee you up, but I do – let's be honest. This is a move away from the line of scrimmage, and I think that we went into this draft believing that the Bears, to get better, needed to emphasize both lines of scrimmage. Now, we understand – Colston Loveland, a value pick at number 10, you have to take that move. You have to make that move and take that player. I don't know that you had to feel just as compelled to go after a wide receiver, no matter how good he is, in the second round. I was surprised they didn't go after a left tackle at that spot and ignored maybe a defensive tackle at that spot. Did you have that similar reaction right away?
Well, as you guys know, I've been saying this for years, right, about the way you win football games, the way you see yourself, your team, when you talk about culture and the kind of football team you're building, right? Are you taking guys who we beat you by out-scheming you? Are you taking you guys because we beat you just because we beat you up, right? That's the kind of football team that you're building with those first two picks, guys. It's more of like, and it's hard for me because – you're so happy for these young men who got drafted, right? I don't want to go after their that pick. But for me, like you guys have known for years around here, yes, line of scrimmage, right? Get the best guy at the line of scrimmage. Keep stacking guys, whether it be in a defensive line room. And they did, right, after they traded down, or defensive line room or the offensive line room. Keep developing those guys. Get those guys in your building. Because when you line up, guys, in football, you have two choices, right? We're either going to outsmart you, outthink you, or we're just going to beat you up. We're going to line up and we're going to beat you up, and that's how we're going to win football games. And it seems to me right now the Chicago Bears are telling you that when we line up, we're going to out-scheme you, we're going to outthink you. So that is kind of, David, when you asked me how I felt about it, that's how I felt about the two picks. You can see Chicago Bears have really struggled on offense. They went out and got the best offensive coordinator you can get and made him the head coach. And then they went and got him two chess pieces. You see the direction they're moving in.
Yeah, and I think you say it well, Olin. I think it's important to remember, like, Luther Burden isn't the guy that didn't draft offensive linemen in Chicago for these many years. You know, he's
so don't hold it against him.
No, that exactly. Kind of thing. And I don't. Yeah. And I think he's going to be a good fit in what the offensive head coach wants to get done. I really do. I thought we had that tip of the cap to the coach with the first pick, right? I wasn't sure, and I know all the tackles are going off the board.
Supply and demand, maybe.
But I also believe that some of the tackles are going off the board because people knew that they wanted one. People were trying to get them while they could get them because, well, that's a team that definitely has to have one. Like, everybody knew what they needed.
You would have been okay for them to move up and maybe have a sense of urgency and drafted a tackle within the second round.
I probably would have, given where they're at.
The kid going to the Chiefs at the end of the first round, Josh Simmons, really, I think, hurt the Bears because
I think the two kids go in at the end of the first round, right? They kind of went, was it the last four picks, two offensive tackles? That hurt them, no question about it.
It did.
When I saw them take Luther Burden, right, and you saw New Orleans was up next, and New Orleans already took a tackle in the first round. I thought they had a plan to take the kid out of Minnesota with their 41st pick. That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought it was a good idea because, you know, New Orleans, unless someone trades up, they already got the tackle they wanted in the first round. They're not going to take a tackle again there. But then they trade down, guys, and that shocked me, right? Like, okay, they traded down, and then the kid from Minnesota, Ursary, goes to, I think he went to Houston.
Yeah.
Right before they got up on the board again. And that was kind of guy I had in my mind, if they want to take
same here
a playmaker, right, David? If they want to take someone in the first round and a couple playmakers and maybe get that guy in the second round to compete there at left tackle. I thought that'd be a really good day for the Chicago Bears.
And I think you had a player who was projected to be pretty good NFL left tackle in Ursary because he had a Big Ten experience. He'd blocked against Abdul Carter, had some good tape
blocked
on him.
Well in that game.
And you wondered if that was where the Bears were headed. Now, I think Luther Burden III probably appealed to them because he was the highest on their board and something they just could not refuse in terms of the talent and it could not resist because of the possibility. I like his response, Luther Burden III's. I know he was a guy that was supposed to go in the first round, right. Talent-wise. Right. He was bypassed, and I love the fact that these guys are on social media all the time. He had a timestamp, 12:52 a.m. He's working out after the first round is over, late Thursday night, because he felt like he was snubbed. He comes to Chicago with a chip on his shoulder. That's never a bad thing for someone who has his immense talent and potential.
Yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with everything. I just think that when you sit down and you take a look at a football team, you got to talk about things like positional value, like, you know, when you strike and how you strike. Again, if they had gotten that tackle, or even my brother was in England and kept texting me, "You got to move up for that kid. Don't they have to move up for? He's like the last guy kind of left."
Mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't, like, if you came away, as Olin said, with everything you wanted and everything, then you wouldn't complain about it.
Well, that's a great point.
It feels like
that they weren't able to do that.
They've got, like, they took what they could to improve the offense as fast as possible, and then they took the requisite picks that were expected. Who's left?
Oh, and do you think they felt like it was something they already addressed in free agency, so they didn't have to have that kind of urgency in the draft for left tackles or right tackles or whoever they were on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, definitely getting Jonah Jackson, Drew Dolman, and Joe Tooney in free agency, right? Like, they did put a lot of assets into that offense line to rebuild it, but it just felt like, again, right, it was, you know, like we're talking about, there's a guy we just couldn't pass up. Well, that was Rome Odunze over Olu Fashanu last year, right? Or that was Jaquan Brisker over Cam Jurgens, right? It feels like you're watching the same story over and over again, right? And then they did go get Ozzie Tripillo there at the pick 56, but when they traded down, I thought, man, like you're saying, David and Molly, like, it was right there, right? You could have got your receiver and then got the guy to compete at left tackle, where, and said you got Tripillo, who's a nice pick, but a lot of people don't think he can play left tackle in the NFL. So
you
it's
wonder.
Just very interesting to watch them put this together and again wonder about, okay, like, love the skill position picks, right? I just kind of wonder about where this all fits in on the line of scrimmage, about your left tackle, and what if you have an injury?
You know, back to what Mully was saying, I think the end of the first round, the Bears would never acknowledge this, but I wonder if it surprised them. Josh Connerly Jr. went to Washington.
Yeah.
That's a left tackle from Oregon who's projected very well. And then the Chiefs jump in with Simmons from Ohio State.
Shouldn't surprise you.
But shouldn't surprise
you. You know why? Because all those teams need one. That was not... Did we not?
But nobody needed one more than you did.
Every team needs one.
Every team needs one. Yeah, apparently.
Every team needs
but,
one.
But Olin, apparently you can stopgap it if you're the Chicago Bears. And I'm not.
No, don't do that.
I'm not being mean to anybody, but I'm just saying that they did. They had a resolution to their line issues that had to happen in order for them to even think about drafting anything else. But they didn't find a long-term solution. You know, the way that you get good is by having people that are there playing together for a long period of time. They got three positions that they got starters in the offseason, that those guys may be a 1 or 2 year fix, period, end of story.
Olin, we haven't talked to you in a while, so I wonder this. How much does the Bears' faith or confidence in Braxton Jones' recovery play into their philosophy going into the draft, whether it's in day one or day two? And do you know anything about Braxton Jones's recovery that is worth knowing because of how we're looking at this entirety of the offensive line?
I don't. I know he's recovering from that injury he had and trying to get healthy. I know what everybody else knows. Haven't talked to Braxton in a while, but you know, they're comfortable with Braxton and Karan Amagaji going into a camp and mini camp, which you don't expect Braxton to be there for a while, right? So it's probably going to be Karan lining up there at left tackle, and we'll see. Now, the first question you ask yourself is, are they thinking about Darnell Wright over there, right? That's the first thing I thought when I saw Tripillo go, was like, man, I wonder if they have thoughts of moving Darnell Wright over, new coach, offensive line coach, Dan Roschar went there, studied film. They have new voices in there. We heard Ben Johnson compare Darnell Wright favorably to Penei Sewell, right? Which in Penei Sewell, we all know he can play left tackle. He plays right tackle because they have Taylor Decker there for the Lions. But that was my first thought, David, was, okay, I know they're not with Braxton's injury. They probably feel a little bit uncomfortable. Karan Amagaji came out with that quad injury, right? That quad tendon injury coming out of college. You know, his film is not amazing from last year. Struggled a lot. We all remember that. But do they see maybe Darnell Wright moving over to the left tackle and Trapillo there at right tackle?
I hope so, because if
you hope so?
Well, I got to be honest with you. We've talked about this quite a bit, but you know, with all due respect to every player in the league, Kieran Amagaji, that is the mystery man of this mm-hmm. group, right? Do we know anything about him at all other than, you know, the basic stuff he played in the, you know, I told this story. I have a friend who was working, doing some stuff with Saban, and they were looking for a left tackle when he was in his last year at Alabama. And he's like, give me the names. We got to get someone in here to help us with left tackle. And one of the names they gave him was Kieran Amagaji. And Saban was like, what? Where's he play? No, he's not coming to the SEC. If that's his reaction to a guy that's blocking guys, you know, that are half his size in the Ivy League, why are the Bears so convinced that that's going to work? I just don't know, and I haven't seen him play. And when we did see the one game, you know, he came pretty hurt. He was clearly up against it, and I haven't heard anything about him. Is he healthy? Is he ready to go? We haven't heard. They don't even like bring him up a lot as, oh, and then we have Kieran.
They don't. And Olin, how much does an off season, the first off season for a young man coming in from Yale, as Mully's alluding to, not being an NFL, maybe football factory necessarily, but can he make these kinds of strides and the type of jump he needs to make in an off season to be a factor this year?
He can if he works on the right things, right? We always talk about in the NFL, you have to throw darts. You have to know exactly what to work on, or you'll be out of the league before you know it, right? Because a lot of guys work on the wrong things, go work out with the wrong people, do the wrong things to improve their game. And Karan has to work on, you know, using his hands, his feet, his pass set, and of course taking on the bull rush there on the edge. So like you're talking about, and Mully's talking about, just from the conference he came from, he didn't see a lot of elite competition. And you don't know until you know. By that I mean, you don't know what it looks like until you go against it. You don't know how important your fundamentals, your footwork, your angles, staying inside out, knowing where your help is, knowing all the information you need to block the best players in the NFL. I don't think we hear about Karan Amagaji a lot, guys, because I don't think they know what they have in Karan Amagaji. I know they know, like, you know, guys, with Ryan Poles, he loves the measurables, right? He loves tall guys, long arms. He loves guys who look the part. But guys who look the part can't always block. They can't always use their arms, and they can't always take on bull rushes. And those are the things they got to figure out with the guys they got. So they did put assets into that position, a fifth-round pick, a third-round pick. Who's going to be there competing for left tackle? I don't know. They don't know what they have in Karan Amagaji yet. As you guys know, I have worked with him twice. I haven't seen him since. There are things that he has to work on. Right, first thing he has to do is get his body as healthy and as strong as possible, and then he has to learn the NFL football game, and he has to work on that. They took the step in the right direction when they hired Dan Roschar as offensive line coach, and I'm sure they're poring over what Karan Amagaji has to improve on to help them on the football field this year.
There's one other point to make, but we got to get to a break. We'll do that when we come back. It's Mully, it's Olin, it's David. We've got a great draft recap preview. Is that, what do we call
it? Mully and Haw on a Saturday.
Okay, mm-hmm. With Olin.
With Olin.
See how David just left me out. Same way he wrote me out of the Bears years ago. You know what I mean?
And that only took 20 minutes.
It's Mully and Haw and Olin on the Score. Yeah.
Let's get back to more of the Mully and Haw Draft Special featuring Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. Welcome back in. It is a delight to talk to the great Olin Krutz and to pick apart the draft. And, Olin, we had a conversation at the end of the week where we talked about how, in a weird way, the whole NIL, the transfer portal, probably is aiding a lot of NFL teams because there are so many guys that are now moving from into the best conferences, and you're getting a chance to see them maybe even just for a year in the league, but in that conference, but that gives you a better sense of what they can do moving forward. So the colleges do a great job, I think, of recruiting kids out of high school and getting kids. And now they're doing a good job of identifying players in college football that should be on the best teams. And that has got to help the league as well. There was only, I think, one defensive tackle that wasn't from the top three conferences that was drafted. And it made me think about this Kieran Amagaji thing. Like, if he were that good a player, and listen, people go to the Ivy League for all sorts of reasons, and it's not, you know, it's not like they're just not going to go to school, but I wonder if he would have played in a major conference if they would have had more information on, would they look at him differently?
And did he get an offer to portal out? That I don't know.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Maybe he just, you know, maybe he's the kind of kid we're talking about who's loyal to the school he goes to and the coaches, right, who gave him a scholarship and took him out of high school. But like you're saying, Mully, would I love to see, you want to see everybody against the best competition, right? And it makes it easy to evaluate these guys coming out of school, and it makes it harder. If you haven't seen guys against top competition, how are they going to compete once they get to the NFL when the game speeds up and the guys are a lot better football players? But like we're talking about, there's just so many questions at the left tackle position for the Chicago Bears. And Caron knows that, and he knows that he has to work on a lot of things and get things going in the right direction this year to give himself a chance to be a starter at the left tackle spot for the Chicago Bears.
So Ozzie Trapillo comes to the Bears from Boston College. Ryan Poles, as we know, was an offensive lineman at Boston College. Don't know what that played a role, if any, but it is a connection that was addressed by Trapillo when he addressed the Bears media last night. 6'8", 316 pounds, Olin, 33-inch arms. He's got experience at every position, I think, except center. On the offensive line, he started as a guard. He's played both sides. What you say about potentially moving Darnell Wright is very interesting. The Bears alluded to that the other day at the pre-draft press conference. If you were advising Dan Rochard or Ryan Poles about what this collection of linemen tell you what to do at the tackle position, what would be plan A for you?
I would have to see what all these tackles look like, right? I got to see what Ozzie Trapillo looks like when I put him on the field versus, we just talked about Caron Amagaji, but I got to see him versus NFL talent. And I'm sure there's film out there. I have not seen his film, all of his film this year. He looks to me, guys, like a guy, just from the little I've seen, who has to develop his game also, right? And that's what we're talking about these Ryan Poles draft picks. They're not terrible draft picks, but they're guys who need a lot of developing and guys who need to work on their game to become starting NFL offensive tackles. And right now, I would hate to see Darnell Wright move. I think he's got a chance to be a really, really good right tackle in the NFL. Look, Lane Johnson for the Philadelphia Eagles never moved from right tackle, right? They went and found themselves a left tackle, and they just leave the best right tackle in the NFL there at his position. Lane's been doing it now. I think he's going on his 13th year. So it's just kind of what you think. I'd leave Darnell right there, to be honest, David, and find myself a left tackle.
You know, as this is not related to the tackle position, but as far as the as Loveland, the Colston Loveland, the tight end is concerned, he just turned 21. Mm-hmm. He is a very young, I think he turned 21 like a week or two ago. He's a very young player coming in. Now, you were the youngest player in the league when you were drafted, Olin, and your rookie year. What challenge does that make? And do you think when you're putting together profiles of players, you would take their youth into account? In other words, if you're choosing between two tight ends and one guy's 2 years younger, does that appeal to you more or less?
You know, Coastin Loveland, when you turn his film on and you've heard a lot about him, right, about his route running, that's what is intoxicating when you watch this guy play football, right? It's kind of weird watching him because with that shoulder injury he had and the surgery he had, you can see that on film. That you can see him grab his shoulder sometimes, and you can see that Michigan didn't put him in line a lot. And I'm sure that's because he was playing injured for them, right? He was playing hurt. But as far as being young, and when I came into the NFL, it was overwhelming at first for me to be around older guys and guys that had kids. And it's just a whole new dynamic that you have to deal with as a young player. And, you know, obviously coming from Hawaii and coming from the University of Washington, that young, I had so much to learn. I'm sure Coastin Loveland does too, right? But they have Cole Kmet in that room, and I think they signed a tight end from Miami also who can help them with that position. They have a strong tight end position now. But obviously, when you're watching what you're talking about, Mully, just depends on what you think is important for your football team, right? I know some guys talked about, well, why would you take Warren over Loveland? And it was kind of like, well, Warren provides me. He's a tough son of a gun, right? He comes, gets after people. He's a tough football player, and that's what I want. Chicago Bears wanted a matchup piece, right? A route runner, a guy who they can match up against, the nickel cornerback for a football team. And he's a really good football player, but it's just kind of what you want in your building on your football team.
What did you think of that choice? Because we haven't spoken to you since the first-round selection. Coastin Loveland over Tyler Warren, who goes four picks later. Loveland made a really strong impression on Friday at Howells Hall, coming from a small town in Idaho, gets in front of the microphones in Chicago, and doesn't seem fazed or overwhelmed, just seems like a guy who humbly walked into Howells Hall, ready to play football, is going to be low maintenance. I think I love that part about him as much as anything, Olin, because we know how guys can come in with a lot of baggage, with a lot of trepidation, but it just looks like he's ready to come in, tell me where to go, tell me where to line up, I'll get it done, and let's play football.
As you guys know, I don't really listen much to what people talk, right? I turn their film on, and I let their film talk to me, right? And I let their film tell me exactly who you are. Like, I get confused sometimes. People say, man, Olin, this guy's a dog. And I turn the film on, and I'm watching. I don't see it, right? I see him talking like he is, right? I hear him on microphones, but I don't see it on film. And when I watch Coastin Loveland on film, I do see a guy, man, who is a matchup nightmare when you split him out, when he runs his routes, but I don't see him blocking a lot, right? I don't see him doing a lot of the other things that you'd like to see from a tight end. So if you're asking me the kind of football player I want to put into my building, it probably would have been Warren, but you do understand why they took Loveland.
Does he remind you of Greg Olsen?
His route running ability and the blocking, yes. Greg Olsen was a matchup nightmare, right, when he came in here, and we all knew what his problems were in the other aspect of the game, and he had to go to Carolina to play, you know, in that kind of college style offense, right, with Cam Newton, where he was off the ball and not doing a ton of blocking, and that's where he really blossomed into the football player that he became. But that's when you count on Ben Johnson, right, that he knows exactly what he wants to do with Loveland. He knows exactly the poem he wants to write with his new tight end.
I take it you weren't that impressed with the poetry.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about it. I just want to mention it 100 times in this show.
That's very passive aggressive of you.
Yes, it is. It's
well
very,
played.
It's extremely passive aggressive of me.
Yes,
hey, I mean, now this is such an aside, but did it bother you in any way that Roma Dunze was the Peyton Award winner and it wasn't Caleb Williams? I mean, wouldn't it have been a better sign? And I'm not suggesting you fix the election. I think you fix the election over captains, not over Peyton Award winners. Piccolo Award winners. But what was your take on that? Just Dunze a better teammate?
I don't, you know. I know
you
I
won
know
that award,
asking,
right?
And you do wonder about that, right? Like why wasn't he voted by his teammates, the quarterback, the team captain? Why wasn't he voted the Piccolo Award winner? And it is something to look into, but maybe Roma Dunze just impressed his teammates that much. Look at his work ethic, the way he carried himself, the way he took on the responsibility of where he fit on the team, the way he showed up every day and went to work. Some guys just kind of, you know, it's like T.J. Edwards. They just, you know, move the team in that direction, right?
Right.
Why does TJ Edwards win it and not other guys on the defense? So it's just always interesting. And like you're saying, you know, why didn't Jalen Johnson win it and not TJ Edwards, right? There's just certain guys who, when you talk about the award, the sense of humor, the hard work, the work ethic, the always battling, the always there for your teammates. There's certain guys who really match that award.
Well, I'll say this about Caleb Williams. Nobody has won the draft more than he has, because now he is waking up this morning and he has two weapons he didn't have when the week started. And now this puts more of an onus on him to execute. He's going to have an offensive line more equipped to protect him. He's going to have a head coach who knows how to scheme guys open and call the right plays. And now he's got weapons galore. He's got wide receivers that are, you know, a proven guy in DJ Moore. You got two tight ends you could go to. The only thing missing is really a running back. But I do think that's probably one of the things on the list of items today. I don't know if they go out and get one, but Caleb Williams has got to feel very good about what the Bears did this offseason to give him everything so there are no more excuses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Olin, I'm curious with the running back position. You know, we had heard that there were all sorts of great running backs in this draft, and eventually there's going to be a run on them. And I thought when the two Ohio State kids went as quickly as they did one after the other, I thought, oh, here comes the run. But it never really materialized through the third round. There's still a lot of running backs that are on the board. Were you surprised that that is still a position, even with Genty going as high as he did, where, what, I think two went in the first round, right? Hampton went. But it wasn't like this great run on running backs that had been predicted.
Yeah, I think teams think they have time, right? They have time with the many guys. After the first, you know, three or four go, it's kind of, well, what do you want? And maybe they all kind of fall into the same box of their level. So teams think they have time. There's enough running backs to take. I'll get one later. I think that's what we saw from the running back position, right? Why there wasn't a run on running backs, but like you guys are talking about, right? There's, when you look at this roster, and you can't have everything in the NFL, but yep. The two positions you look at are the two positions we talk about, because we do analyst work, so you always look for where they may struggle. But the left tackle position and the running back position, right? Who's the guy who's going to go downhill? Roschon Johnson was supposed to be that guy. They got Travis Homer out of Seattle, but Roschon Johnson with some injury history now. DeAndre Swift, we all know they said last year we had to ask him to run between the tackles. They went and got themselves a highly respected running back coach in Eric Bieniemy. And what's he going to do for that room and how those guys run the football? But you could see the Chicago Bears here, like you're talking about, in a draft that's rich with running backs. You could see them going and getting one, a guy that, you know, maybe Ben Johnson likes between the tackles, a guy who's going to come downhill like David Montgomery did for him in Detroit.
Yes.
Well, before we break, Olin, we have to get your thoughts then. Since you brought up a running back the Bears might be interested in and Chicago would certainly fall in love with, he'd be a folk hero before his first carry, Cam Scataboo. Do you have a thought on Cam Scataboo?
Cam Scataboo, tough running back, man. I mean, no one who didn't watch the college playoffs didn't enjoy watching him run the football, battle with his team, the intensity he ran the ball with, the way he refused to go down with one guy tackling him. So he would be, like you're talking about, David, in Chicago, man. This guy would be a perfect fit for the way the Chicago Bears. Well, we don't know anymore, right?
Yeah, I don't know when
you look at the way they built this team. Looks like we're going to be in four wides a lot here. So we'll see.
I thought we decided two tight end sets. I guess we're gonna. You know what? It's perfect. Just take the left tackle off the field. Who needs one?
Split them out. Split out the left tackle.
It's beautiful. All right, we'll be right back. It is the draft show with Mully and Haw and Olin Kreutz on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Open it up with Burton in the second, a player that, you know, obviously there's a lot of value there. He was at the top of our board, really did a good job following the board and kind of letting it talk to us. It was clear he was the most talented player on the board, and we think he's an electric player, playmaker, highly competitive, and the run after the catch is special, probably best in this class. So when you add that to the group that we have, things get pretty exciting.
Let's get back to more of the Mully and Haw Draft Special featuring Olin Krutz on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of the general manager, the architect, if you will, of the Chicago Bears. That's Ryan Poles. And he's talking about the electric one. He's talking about Luther Burden III and what he can do as a wide receiver.
He was taken in the second round, 39th overall, dropped out of the first round because of character concerns. There were some people who believed his attitude needed some adjustment. And he that was such a thing that his coaches spoke publicly on his behalf. And he took that edge to the workout field and practice field on Thursday night after he was snubbed and he was working out, and he posted, I think it was 12:30 in the morning or something like that. So he comes to Chicago with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Oh, and I wonder this, does Ben Johnson look at this guy, Luther Burden III, with a little bit of baggage coming out of college, much the way that Jameson Williams came to Detroit? They were patient with him. He was a little bit of a problematic, immature player. But boy, is he good. And I wonder if he sees similar ways that some kind of structure and putting him in the right spot can get the most out of him.
Yeah, I think, are they worth the risk, right, is always the question when you're drafting guys with character concerns. And I have been, you know, openly honest about that's the reason why I dropped in the NFL draft. So I have a soft spot for kids like this who come out and people say a lot of things about them, and you want them to prove them wrong, right? And we all think. Every NFL player thinks they got drafted too late, right? Except for the guy who went number one. Everyone has a chip on their shoulder and thinks they should have went higher. But, of course, they see this guy. And I talked about, I've been watching him since high school and hearing about him and watching film on him. And my sons are like, you got to see this kid out of East St. Louis, Dad, going to play college. And he was the number one receiver coming out, highly recruited. And he has been looking like this for a while. And whatever his character concerns are, and there's always things that guys need to work on coming out of college. But obviously, Ben Johnson, Ryan Poe said he let the draft board talk to him, and they took the highest player on the board. I'm just always interested to hear Ryan Poe talk about, you know, you can see he really holds in high regard these playmakers, these wide receivers, these guys who can get open. That's the way, when I hear guys talk, guys, that's the way he builds his football team, right? Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. Over the years, he's always trying to get matchup nightmares coming from the Kansas City Chiefs, right. Travis Kelce, right? The way he sees things, the way he sees teams winning football games. He's talking about the draft board talks to him. Well, I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like his draft talks to us, right? About the way he sees his football team and the way he builds them. We've said for years, you see two offensive linemen there in that building. You assume that that's the way they see they're going to win football games. I think we're starting to see that's not, right? That's not the way they see things. And you got this young, dynamic wide receiver with the ball in his hands. I think a lot of people thought he was the best football player in the draft after the catch, right? And his yards after catch is what everyone's raved about. And that's what the Chicago Bears see from him. And if Caleb Williams can find, again, that, you know, that accuracy he was so known for coming out of USC and hit this guy on the run, I think that's what they see when they see this guy on the field for the Chicago Bears.
And I mean, there's a lot to like about that, given the way that he would match up with the other two guys that they have in that receiving core. I mean, you know, you got a number 9 overall pick there in Roma Dunze, who's got to be a, you know, the big, strong, physical, go up and get it guy. We didn't see enough of that last year, and we know that DJ Moore is a really good player and can do a lot of good yak stuff himself. So it'll be interesting to see how they work all these pieces together and how much time they have to get the ball out. And that's why I think when we talk about the running back position, that's why, you know, the key to what they want to do with the play action stuff, you're going to need somebody.
Running the football.
You're going to need
somebody.
You got to
run the football.
Between the tackles to run the ball.
They have done a nice job now of getting some weapons.
Yeah.
So you have a wide receiving core that has all that you would want. You have a tight end that you drafted 10th overall that is something you've really never had. So now if you look at, okay, who do the Bears have in the passing game? DJ Moore's number one target. Mm-hmm. You've got Colston Loveland's got to be your number two probably priority. You've got Roma Dunze 3. The kid you just drafted, Luther Burden, in the second round, has got to be up there 4 in terms of the ways that he can help you after the catch. You got to go down to your fifth option before you get to Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. If you're Cole Kmet and you're watching everything unfold this weekend, I wonder what's going through your mind. I wonder what this means for his future. He's making $9.9 million next year.
Yeah.
And he's the fifth option in the passing game. That doesn't necessarily... Yeah.
Sorry, David.
No, go. I think it's interesting, though. What do you think of all that?
I think Cole Kmet better give me a call. We better work on his blocking. Gonna work on his run blocking, right? That's going to be his value to this team. But he has shown, man. I mean, the team you just named, David, at Mully, my gosh.
Yeah.
Take them to a 7-on-7 tournament anywhere, right? And they also got the guy from Washington, right, Zacchaeus.
Oh, that's right.
He's a pretty good wide receiver. Yep. Good old Zeke. I mean, this place, that building, that's what I'm saying about Ryan Poles. When you look at the way he builds his football teams, and this was before Ben Johnson got here, right? He overloads the wide receiver room to give that young quarterback a target that he needs, right? So it's interesting when you look at this, when you watch him. I mean, Colson, you can say Loveland is a tight end if you want, right? When I turn the film on, I see a glorified wide receiver, really, when I watch him play football, right? A guy that split out a lot. Now, I only watched this year. I don't know how much of that is because he was fighting through a shoulder injury, which a lot of respect to him for playing with that injury, right? And I know they got it fixed this offseason in surgery, and he'll be out for a little while during minicamp. But when you look at this team, and you guys, I don't know if you guys saw this, but when the Bears were on the clock, I'm sure you guys did, and they were putting all the stats from the Bears offense last year. I mean, it was hurting me watching that, right? Like, they were this many points, last in this, last in sacks, last in yards per game, last in points scored from week 8 to 17. And I was just watching, I think to myself, man, I remember doing analyst work watching that team play, right? So you see why they're trying to put assets into that room. It's just the way that they see it may be different from some people, right? The way I keep saying, okay, do you want to beat them, outsmart them, or do you want to beat them up when you win football games? And for me, when I look at the Chicago Bears, the way they build their team, they want to outsmart guys. They want to have these dynamic pieces, too much for you to cover, and we run routes, and we get open.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, I still think there's a lot of work to be done, and I'm still very concerned about – you know what else I'm wondering about? And this is stupid, Olin, but as long as we're talking about dumb things.
You're not moving Joe Tooney to left tackle again, are you?
I mentioned that. I asked if that's what they planned, and you threatened to hang up. That, you know, I didn't know what the whole idea was. I thought they'd probably go get one. At any rate, when the head coach, when they were doing the Piccolo Award, he at one point made a joke with T.J. Edwards where he said something like, you know, I wouldn't be here if he hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bum play. You know, wah-ha. I don't know how.
Did he say that? Really?
He said that. And I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I'm not certain how.
I would have to put his 425-pound squat to the test.
Yeah, you know what that's, I mean? Like, that's what on, I'm man. Saying. Like, T.J. Edwards did not look. Let's take a listen.
I need to say a thank you before we get started, because it was in December that if you hadn't taken the cheese on that stumble bump play, I don't know if I would have gotten this job. So thank you for that.
Wow.
I'm just saying that. I don't know how that goes over with defensive guys. I don't know if you're allowed to make those kind of
How would that have gone over with you?
Well, he's an NFL football player. TJ is. I watch him play. Tough football player, man. He gives you everything he's got, right? I mean, who doesn't like watching TJ Edwards play football? And obviously there's mistakes made. And like Coach Johnson's talking about, there's a stumble bum. I'm sure that was right before his beautiful poem. Anyway, when you say that stuff to a football player, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know. I mean, he probably, the guy's the head coach, so you laugh it off. But when you go home and you talk to your family and your friends, I'm sure you had some colorful words for Ben Johnson mentioning that at you know, it's again, it just seems a little tone deaf to me, right? It's the guy's Piccolo Award. They're honoring him. You're saying something that you think is funny, I guess, about, you know, you took the cheese and then, you know, it's just in my opinion, not a great day for the brand new coach, but that's not why he's here. He's here to win football games.
Great stuff, Olin. All right, we're going to take a quick time out. It is the draft. We're gonna bring in
David Siversen from Our Lids is going to join us to tell us what the Bears might be looking at today when the fourth round resumes.
We'll find out who's available
at 11 o'clock.
I'm very curious about what he has to say about all the running backs, and we'll do that next. You're listening to the draft, whatever it's called, our draft coverage on The Score.